The Subtle Knife by Philip Pullman. Dramatized by Lavinia Murray.
I am Balthamos, a recording angel, a listener of lives. I have come to this Oxford, one of innumerable, drawn by this 12-year-old boy, one of countless trillions whose fate will affect all of creation. His name is William Parry.
Circle, instalking at R7. Instalking at R7, please. Thank you.
William Parry, 12 years of age, has a frightened mother and a father who's missing, presumed dead. Every day, Will daydreams himself into his father's company. They have adventures. Today, they're trekking through frozen Arctic wastes, their dog teams stumbling through fresh drifts of snow.
I've never been so cold.
Whilst you're in the freezer, Will, get a 10-pack of fish fingers. Don't let anyone see you putting them in the trolley.
Mom, this is shoplifting, minus the steal.
Quick! Whilst there's nobody about.
What about CCTV?
I'll block their view. Go on.
Why are we doing this?
People pick up clues about you from the smallest things. Good. No one saw.
Everything will be listed automatically on the till receipts.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Let's make our way to the checkout. Will, that man was in the library.
I'll start loading stuff on the belt, all right?
He keeps looking at us.
Well, you're staring at him.
Hello, madam. Want any help with your packing?
No. That man's still watching out of the corner of his eye.
£11 exactly, please. Do you have a reward card?
Oh, I've left my purse at home. I must get out.
Sorry about that.
Supervisor, check out 7, please. Mom!
Mom! Something's wrong.
What is it?
We've got to be vigilant. They're out to trick us, Will. And these loyalty cards. It's electronic tagging, isn't it? Your dad would know what to do.
Is Dad coming back?
He said so. Oh, love, hold my hand.
What's he like, Mum? Where did he go?
He left the Royal Marines to lead expeditions to the remotest regions.
So you keep saying, but which remotest regions? Well,
no father can be more exciting than an explorer, eh, Will?
Then why haven't we got stuff you fetched back? Why isn't he in a book? They should make television programs about him. It's like he never existed.
You're going to be a great man, too. You'll take up his mantle.
What's a mantle, Mum?
Come on. Let's go home by the park.
And home isn't the refuge it should be.
I'll get it, Mum.
Don't let the cat out, Will.
Okay. Come in, Lexi. I've got her, Mum.
We need to speak to Mrs. Parry.
She can't. She's not well.
Where's your husband, Mrs. Parry?
Let us come in, William. Your mother doesn't want a spectacle on her doorstep.
Has he contacted any foreign embassies, Mrs. Parry?
Why are you here?
They're not selling windows, Mom.
What do you know about windows?
I know some salesmen use aggressive tactics. It was on the tent.
We know you've received 9 letters.
What? We need to see them.
They're not... No, they're private.
What has he told you?
Get out! Leave my mother alone. Get out of my house!
We'll call again. Soon. Goodbye, Mrs. Parry. William.
Oh. We need one of those chains on the door.
That won't stop me. Mum, pack a few clothes.
Why?
Can't stay here. I need to go and find out about Dad from the solicitors. See if they know where he is. Stands to reason the solicitors must be in contact with them to be able to send money every month. Do you remember where you've put Dad's letters?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they're safe.
Safe where, Mum?
Safe as toast.
No, it's safe as houses.
No, safe as toast.
I'm not going to win with this one. Look, Mum, I'm going to take you to Mrs. Cooper's.
Who's Mrs. Cooper? Where are we, Will?
It's okay.
What are we doing here? Who lives here?
Hello. William. It's been over a year since your last piano lesson. What do you want, dear?
Can we come in, Mrs. Cooper? Please.
Oh, Mrs. Parry, I didn't see you there.
No.
Yes, come in. What's the matter, William?
My mother needs somewhere to stay for a few days.
Oh, are you unwell, Mrs. Parry?
She just needs someone to be kind to her. Here, I've brought food. She won't mind sharing.
Do you need a doctor, Mrs. Parry?
No, Mum's not ill.
Well, she's only rouged one cheek.
I rushed her. Am I safe here?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Parry. Look, you can have my daughter's room, dear. She's in Australia.
Thank you.
What's happening, Will?
Don't worry. Mrs. Cooper will look after you better than me. Bye, Mum.
Oh, Will.
I wish you'd tell me what this is about, William.
It's complicated, but she won't be any trouble. Thanks. Please don't tell anyone she's here. Come on, Moxie. Let's get you fed. There. How long do you reckon before the men come back? I've got to find Dad's letters. I know she keeps them in a battered leather writing case. Shut up! Shut up! Where's a safe place? Hang on. Why's the plug been taken off the toaster? Oh, Mum, you've not been fiddling with the electrics again, have you? What's this inside? It's the writing case. Letters. Yes. Got them, Moxie, got them. Okay, I'll get some clothes and go. You coming upstairs as well, Moxie? Not sure what to do with you. There's dried food. You've got the cat flap. Oh no, they're back. They think no one's in.
Nobody here. Right. I'll look upstairs. Hey, Walters, anybody ever tell you what amazing hair you have?
Yeah, my nickname's Blonde Ambition.
Blonde Ambition.
Yeah, all right. Go on, don't hang about.
I'll have to leg it when he gets to the top.
Moxie purrs contentedly. Oi! As the man, already off balance, falls over and crashing headfirst down the stairs. He'd always had an aversion to cats.
I've killed him. I've killed him. I better call an ambulance. No. Who'd believe me? And where's his partner? Surely he wouldn't have just run off and left him. Stay calm. Get out. Go. This is my last chance.
By the time Will has reached the Oxford Ring Road, night has fallen. He turns down a quiet side road and finds himself walking down an avenue lined with hornbeam trees. A tabby cat pushes through one of the neat box hedges and rubs up against him.
Hello, girl. You look like my poor Moxie. At least she can curl up on the bed tonight. What's wrong with that patch of grass, girl? Does it smell of dog? What? Where have you... How did you do that? You can't have just disappeared. Wow. Looks as if someone's cut a patch out of the air. You can only see it from this side, and the cat's definitely gone through. Where's that? It doesn't smell like Oxford. This is beyond weird. Need something to make sure it's safe.
In case there's an invisible force field, Will takes off one of his trainers and waggles it about in the strange-looking gap in the air. It doesn't melt. So he snaps up a piece of hedge and feeds that through. The twig doesn't explode into flames.
Come on, William Parry. Where's your sense of adventure? Your father was an explorer. He'd have been careful, but he'd have gone through. So deep breath, then one, two, three!
William lands on his back, momentarily winded. He eases himself up and cautiously looks around at a broad seafront boulevard lined with cafes.
Wow.
The one opposite has zinc-topped tables that gleam under elegant streetlights. The breeze is hot and smells of salt and flowers.
This is so weird. Crazy. It's how I've always imagined Greece or Italy. Except, well, it would be packed with tourists. Where is everybody? I don't feel like I'm in any danger, but it doesn't feel right.
Hello? Anyone?
I'm pretty thirsty. No one will mind if I help myself to a lemonade. Anyway, not if I pay for it.
Okay, if anyone's listening, here's a pound. I'm putting it in the till. Hang on a minute. That's not British money. Let's see, it should tell me where I am. Corona. Corona? No idea. That's odd. People have left halfway through their dinners. Yeah, that risotto's hardly been touched. At least none of the furniture's overturned, so whatever made them leave wasn't violent. That's something. Looks like there's a family flat upstairs. Must be a bedroom I can borrow.
Will cautiously climbs the stairs, remembering the last time he had anything to do with stairs back home in Oxford. He listens for movement. Nothing. Then the stair creaks and he shivers. As he gains the landing, a door is suddenly flung open.
Come on in!
Get off me! Stop!
Oh, what's that? Get
off!
Ow!
Sorry.
You ain't got a demon!
What?
Where's your demon?
Can you just stop your cat? It's home.
Get off him, Pan.
Who are you?
Lyra Silvertongue.
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you, and I'm sorry I caught you with my arm. I'd no idea anyone was here. Is this your home?
No.
What's this place called?
I don't know. I'm from a different world.
What? Oh, your cat. It's a dog now. They don't do that where I come from.
Well, he's my demon. A demon's what you have if you're alive. It's your soul. Where's yours?
Listen, my name's Will Parry, and in my world, demon means devil. And I've never seen somebody's soul before. Never thought it'd be an animal if I did. Is that normal for you?
Yeah. So, this ain't your world either?
I just found a way in.
Both our worlds must be joined onto this one.
Have you seen anyone else?
No, but I've only been here a couple of days. I'm looking for dust.
What, gold dust?
Well, don't be stupid.
Dust obviously means something different in your world. In mine, it's like crumbs and fluff and that you go looking for with a vacuum cleaner. Is there any food in the kitchen?
Dunno.
Haven't you eaten?
Yeah, bread, biscuits.
There's loads of stuff in the fridge. You should have helped yourself. It'll only go off.
Well, I didn't know it was here. Oh, it's cold.
You've never seen a fridge before?
No.
Your clothes look odd to me. Is that, you know, the fashion in your world?
Well, I've come through from the north. Lapland.
Lapland? We've got a Lapland. It's where Father Christmas lives.
Who?
Forget it. Are you thirsty?
Yeah.
Want a cola?
Thanks.
Drink it then.
How? It's sealed.
Let me. You just pull the ring towards you. There. Go on.
Oh, I didn't know it would do that.
You'll know for next time. There's plenty of eggs. I'm going to make an omelette. Do you want some?
What's omelette?
Watch and you'll find out. Or there's baked beans.
I don't know baked beans.
Really? Open this can. This world seems to have more in common with mine than yours.
It doesn't have the thing you pull.
You need a can opener.
In my world, servants do the cooking.
Press down so the spike pierces the lid, then turn the handle.
Hey!
Now tip them in the saucepan. So you're Laura.
Lyra.
Get some knives and forks while you're there. Your demon doesn't stay the same shape for long. It's like watching a wildlife program. Not sure what he is now.
Pine Martin, they change with your feelings. You must have a demon inside you.
It's news to me.
Well, you couldn't be human otherwise.
If you say so. Okay, food's ready. Are you staying here?
Dunno. I've got to find out more about dust.
So you said.
There must be scholars in this world.
Scholars? There's plenty of those in Oxford, where I come from.
Oxford? I live there.
Two Oxfords?
Well, we're both speaking English, ain't we? It stands to reason there's other things the same. How did you get through?
A kind of window in the air.
A window? Show me.
I'm not showing you now. I'm tired and it's the middle of the night.
I crossed a bridge. But you must show me in the morning. I need to find scholars.
All right. But I've got my own things to do. You'll have to find scholars by yourself. Okay, I cooked so you can wash up.
I'm not a servant.
Then I won't show you the window.
Find it myself.
You won't. It's hidden. You wash those dishes. We've got to treat this place right. Good night.
I'll take the bedroom next to yours.
Right. Let's ask the alethiometer if he's a friend or an enemy, Pan.
Lyra removes the gold alethiometer from its black velvet bag. She runs her thumb across the symbols at the edge of the dial and watches the three slender hands begin to turn as she concentrates on the question. Is Will to be trusted or not?
What does it say?
He's a murderer.
Ah, right.
We better do what he says.
Back in the world Lyra has come from, her friend, the Witch Queen, Serafina Pecula, and her snow goose demon, Kaiser, fly in the foggy sky over the sea off Lapland. Another witch's demon, Aterne, calls in deep distress. It is the days of confusion and unrest, after the destruction of the Magisterium's experimental station at Bolvanga, where abducted children had their demons severed from them in a series of horrific experiments.
Demon! What clan are you?
Tamia. After the fight at Bolvanga, my witch was taken prisoner. They have her on the ship below. Oh, help me!
Quiet. Let's fly lower. There's a launch trying to come alongside a ship at anchor.
Will you look for my witch?
Yes. Stay with my demon Kaiser for now.
I will look after you.
We're alongside the Magisterium's ship now, Mrs. Calder. The gangplank secured.
Mrs. Coulter's on board. Why is she here?
It's safe to cross when you're ready.
Thank you. Have they started the torture, do you know?
Yes, but the Cardinal asked you to go straight to the command room.
Very well.
Serafina makes herself invisible. She follows Mrs. Coulter down below deck. She is increasingly uneasy about what she might see. Mrs. Coulter enters a room filled with clerics wearing either sumptuous gold-embroidered robes or plain coarse cloth vestments tied at the waist by knotted cord. Two large, heavy books lie open in front of the Cardinal. Everyone turns towards her.
Mrs. Coulter.
Mrs. Coulter, welcome.
Your Eminence, your graces and reverences.
We were just talking about Lyra.
My daughter? Why?
The witches speak of her with some awe. What do you know about the prophecy regarding her?
Your Eminence, I'm sorry, but I don't understand your question.
All the signs have been fulfilled. The circumstances of her birth, her success in leading the Egyptians to Bolvanga, and there's her astonishing feat of deposing the Bear King Jofo Ragnarsson. This is no ordinary child.
She is just very bright.
She's rather more than that, Mrs. Coulter. She also has complete mastery of the alethiometer. To read it without the books is inconceivable. She is like no other human scholar I can imagine. Where does the alethiometer say she is now, Father Pavel?
I thought all the other alethiometers were destroyed.
There are two remaining. This one and the one given to your daughter by the master of Jordan College. The girl is in another world. Chitagatse, to be precise. Your Eminence, I hope I can say that without being thought a heretic.
You're quite safe from persecution, Father Pavel.
What is this prophecy? I ought to be told. How dare you not tell me everything you know?
The witch has hinted at something extraordinary. If it is true, it places us under the most terrible responsibility men and women have ever faced. I ask you again, Mrs. Coulter, what do you know about the child?
How dare you assume that I'm keeping anything from you? I demand to be told what is known about her. Lyra is my child. Conceived in sin and born in shame, but she is my own child nonetheless. And you keep from me what I have every right to know as her mother.
We shall find an answer, either from the witch or from the books of reading.
The alethiometer, how long will it take?
A considerable time.
But the witch could tell us at once.
Perhaps.
Then let us go and ask her.
In a small hot room close to the engine, a witch is bound to a steel chair bolted to the floor. Blood runs from her lips. She twists in her ropes. Fear shivers through her. The invisible witch Serafina Pecula has followed Mrs. Coulter. She's shocked to see how much torture the witch has already endured.
Oh, no, no, no. What have they done to you, sister?
Tell us about the child, witch.
No!
We can draw out your suffering. Tell us about the child.
Please, no more.
Answer then, or I'll break your fingers.
This woman is pure evil.
The witches found out the name of her destiny.
Tell me.
She came before, and you have feared her ever since. Mother Death, come to me. Come to me.
Suddenly, Serafina Pecula becomes visible. She walks towards the witch, smiling, reassuring, and bends over her. One hand stroking the hair from her face, the other hand unsheathing a deep-bladed knife. The clerics and Mrs. Coulter are too surprised to react.
I am here, Mother Death, merry and light-hearted. My visit is always one gift of joy.
Mother!
Serafina Pecula stabs the witch gently through the heart. In the sky above the ship, the turned demon flutters and vanishes into the fog.
You evil people!
Seize her!
What's happening?
The witch has escaped. Quickly, get down and help recapture her.
Stop her!
Serafina, the witch is dead then?
Yes, away, Kaiser. And there's an arrow in my quiver that will find its mark in Mrs. Coulter's throat. We need to find out where Lord Asriel is, since Lyra has gone after him. Who would know?
His servant, Thorold.
We must head for the house in Svalbard.
They turn towards the north and fly out of the fog. Below them, herds of musk ox gallop south, then swerve turning west or north, confused by the change in the Earth's magnetic field, unable to recognize direction. Above them, skeins of geese disintegrate into chaos. Why? Lord Asriel destroyed the dimension that kept all parallel worlds apart when he destroyed the Aurora Borealis. Now people can travel freely between worlds if they know how to find the points of contact. As Kaiser and Serafina Pecula approach the isolated house in Svalbard, they hear familiar leathery wingbeats and a horrible, sickening call.
Cliffguards!
Attacking Smith!
Thank you. Whoever you are, the ghasts have gone for now. I kill about a half dozen each time, but whether they forget or don't care, I can't say. I'm Thorold, by the way.
I am Serafina Pecula, a friend of Lyra's.
Do you know where she is, ma'am?
In another world. I'm concerned for her safety. I need to know what Lord Asriel is doing.
Oh, step inside and welcome.
Kaiser, stay out here and keep watch.
I will.
Sit down, please. Lord Asriel's been nursing a rebellion in his heart for as long as I served him.
Against the Magisterium?
Partly, but he considered it too weak to be worth fighting. Now, you witches have different gods from ours.
Yes.
But you know about ours, the one called the Authority.
We do.
Well, as far as I know, Lord Asriel's gone to find the Authority and kill him. Where there's now a Kingdom of Heaven, he wants to establish a republic.
Can the Authority be killed?
I wouldn't have thought so. But Lord Asriel's had this idea of setting himself up as an opposing force to what he sees as tyranny. Now, some of the angels rebelled before and were defeated. If it was ever going to be possible, it'd be done by him and no one else.
And what will you do now, Thorold?
Well, I doubt he'll send for me. So I'll guard his house till he comes back, or till I die. And now, may I ask you the same question, ma'am?
I'm going to make sure the child Lyra is safe.
Where now, Serafina?
Back to Lake Inara, Kaiser. We need to hold a council to decide how we can help Lyra, and whether we should ally ourselves with Lord Asriel.
In the sky behind them, witches arrive like flakes of black snow. They make their way into the largest cave, leaving the bundles of cloud pine on which they've flown at the cave's mouth. Inside, illuminated by lanterns and flaming torches, the witches encircle a natural rock dais on which Serafina Pecula now stands.
Sisters, let the council begin. The universe has been broken wide by Lord Asriel. Should we concern ourselves with it, or live our lives as we have done until now, looking after our own affairs? And there is the matter of the child, Lyra Balaqua, now called Lyra Silvertongue by King Yorick Bjørnason. She is the child we have always expected. We have two guests who will tell us their thoughts.
I'm Queen Rudaskadi. Sisters, there is a war coming, and we must fight the Magisterium. You have seen what they did at Volvanga. Now they want to suppress every natural impulse, and what they can't suppress, they will control or destroy. Lord Asriel was once my lover, so I know his mind. I would willingly join forces with him, because he hates the Magisterium and all that it does, and all that it stands for.
Mr. Lee Scoresby is a friend of the child's. Speak, sir.
When I was traveling north to Volvanger with Egyptians, Lyra told me that back in Oxford, Lord Asriel had shown the scholars what he claimed was the severed head of the explorer, Stanislaw Grumman. It persuaded them to give him money to come north. Now, I don't believe Dr. Grumman's dead. It seems he knew the whereabouts of an object that gives protection to whoever holds it. It has a power that outclasses anything I've heard of. So I thought I'd postpone my retirement to Texas and search for him. I'm going north to Nova Zembla, where I last heard the doctor was alive. If I can find that object, I'll take it to Lyra. I'll do everything in my power to make sure that child is safe.
Thank you, Mr. Scoresby. Here is a scarlet flower for my crown. Whenever you need my help, hold it and call my name.
Thank you, ma'am. And I shall have it to remember you by.
Now, I shall choose 20 of my best fighters to fly north with me into the new world to search for Lyra.
I intend to learn what Lord Asriel is doing from his own lips. May I come part of the way with you, sister?
You may, and welcome.
Queen Seraphina!
Yes, Jutta?
I know the man, Stanislaw Grumman. I used to love him, but I hate him now with such fervor that if I see him, I shall kill him.
Jutta, this task of ours is greater than revenge. Remember that. To prevent you from killing him, I will take you with us into the new world.
In the new and seemingly uninhabited world of Chittagatse, Lyra is attempting to cook breakfast. The smell of burning fills the kitchen. Something grey and rubbery fills the pan.
Better open a window. Looks like you're cooking rubbery cold. That's better. I'll have cereal.
Huh?
So, why are you looking for dust?
I might tell you sometime.
I see. But how are you going to look for it? You said you'd need scholars. Which sort?
Experimental theologians.
Never heard of them.
Well, they know all about elementary particles and that.
That's what we call physics. You want scientists, not theologians.
Scientists, right. I'll find them.
You shut your mouth!
Sounds like children.
Come on, you'd better go see.
You go first, in case they need killing.
In case they need what?
They're like you.
How do you mean?
Well, they don't have a demon you can see.
Hey, you from here?
No. Where are the grown-ups?
Hiding.
What's this city called?
Chittagatse. All right? What's your name?
Lyra. And he's Will. What's yours?
Angelica. My brother is Paolo.
Hi.
Where you come from?
Up the hills. And there was a fog and storm and everyone was frightened. Then, when it cleared, the grown-ups could see the city was full of spectres. So they couldn't come back. But the kids, we ain't afraid. There's more coming. We're the first.
Us and Tullio.
Shut it!
Ow!
Our big brother. He's hiding till he can, he's just hiding.
He's gonna get... Ow!
Shut it! Where are you from?
Oxford.
They ain't got spectres there.
No, I can't see any here either.
Of course not. You ain't a grown-up.
Kill the buggers!
When a spectre catches a grown-up, it's bad to see. They try and look away and pretend it's not happening. Then they get pow and they stop moving.
They're still alive.
But you look in their eyes and you see the back of their heads.
Ain't nothing now.
Paolo, wipe your nose. Me and Paolo's going to look for some ice cream. You want to come?
No.
Well, goodbye then.
Kill the buggers.
I told you.
They don't know about the window.
Your demon. He just spoke.
He
You didn't think he was a pet, did you?
We better be careful how we go through the window.
Right. Animals speaking, animals that are souls, it's normal then. Fine. And talking of normal, Lyra, you've got to find some other clothes. You can't come back into my Oxford dressed like that.
Why not?
I've got my own things to do in Oxford, and the police are probably looking for me. If you attract attention, I'll kill you. Besides, aren't you a bit hot in those things?
Well, it's my cold weather, underwear.
There should be clothes inside. There's plenty of wardrobes.
Right.
Oh, and you'd better wash yourself. There's soap and shampoo in the bathroom.
I don't know how. The housekeeper done it at Jordan.
Work it out. In my world, people are clean. While you're doing that, I'll hide the writing case under the mattress. I'd love to read the letters, except they're private. They're Mum's. Oh, Mum, I hope you're okay. Don't know what you'd say if you knew I'd killed someone. Those jeans looked about your size. Wouldn't they have been a little more practical?
You mean those trousers? I'm a girl, I'd look stupid.
Girls wear trousers in my world.
Yeah, well, what are we looking for? What's it like?
Well, it actually looks like a window cut in the air, only it opens onto somewhere else. Make sure there's no kids about.
Can't see anyone. Oh, there's a cat.
She came through the window with me. Wonder if she's trying to find her way back. The window was about here.
And it's really like a window?
Yeah, only it's not like anything you've ever seen before as well.
That's helpful. Like a window you've never seen before.
Stop moaning, Pan.
Here it is. Found it.
Yeah, I can see it.
Get back. If you stand in front of it, people in Oxford will only see legs walking about on their own. Oh, rush hour. Really, it's the wrong time of day to go through, but we'll have to. Are you ready?
You sure this is Oxford?
Yeah. When you're through, go to the left. That takes you to the city centre. Make sure you can find your way back.
All right. Ready, Pan?
Yeah, put me in your pocket.
There you go.
See you later. Good luck.
Bye, Will. Woo!
I couldn't help it. She ran out in front and you were too close.
Never mind that. How's the kid?
She didn't look. What am I supposed to do?
You still there, love?
Yeah.
Everything working?
Move her feet and hands. She's fine.
Do you know her?
She's my sister. I'll take her home. Come on.
Wait! You'll be a witness! I want your name and address for in my insurance!
Look, I'm sorry, but right now she needs her mum. You hurt?
Banged my leg. And my head. I never seen so many carts.
They don't have traffic in your Oxford.
Not like that.
Look, this isn't a good idea, is it? You can't be left wandering around Oxford. You're a liability. You'll get yourself killed. It'll work if you pretend you're my sister. Then we can stick together. And it's a disguise for me. The police won't be looking for a boy on his own. I've got to stay hidden. Have you got money?
Of course I have.
Let me look in your purse. Is that gold? It is, isn't it? You're just not safe. I'll give you some money in a minute. And remember, you're my sister. Lisa Ransom.
Lizzie. I called myself that before.
And I'm Mark.
All right.
You're all bruised from the thump I gave you yesterday, and now your leg's swollen.
I'll manage. Pan's dazed, though.
I'll survive.
You better, or I'll be dead as well.
Here's a £20 note.
Is that money? It's paper, isn't it? How can it be worth anything?
Trust me, it is.
Where are we? That ain't the corn market, but this is the Broad. And there's Balliol, and Bodley's Library down there. Where's Jordan College?
There isn't one. Look. I'll meet you back here at 5:00.
But this isn't my Oxford.
We all knew that. See you later. I'm going to make a phone call.
What call? Oh, where do I start looking, Pan? I've never seen so many people. And they look to be from everywhere on the globe.
And Will was right. Girls do wear trousers.
They look stupid. Anyway, we need to find a museum. Let's see if it's like the one we've got at home.
Perkins and McFarrier's solicitors. How may I help?
I want to speak with Mr. Perkins. It's in connection with John Parry.
Just a moment, please.
Hello, this is Alan Perkins. Who am I speaking to?
William Parry. It's about my father, Mr. John Parry. You send money every 3 months to my mother's account.
Does your mother know you're phoning me?
She's not well.
And you're at home now?
I'm in Oxford.
So your mother's in hospital?
Something like that.
Can you find your way to my office at about 2:30?
No. There's a bus to Nottingham. I have to catch it. But what I want to know, you can tell me over the phone. Is my father alive?
The answer to that is I don't know.
Why don't you know? You must know.
My money comes from a family trust. He instructed me to pay it until I heard otherwise. Your father vanished whilst leading an expedition in Alaska 10 years ago. The newspapers at the time were full of the story. Your mother should have told you.
Sorry, I've got no change left. I've got to go. What shall I do? I don't want to call into the solicitors. I don't know why I don't. I just feel something's wrong. I think he knows more than he's saying. Maybe I should go to the library and look up old newspapers. There might be some clues.
Pam, look. These photographs of the samurai hunters. It's the same men that sold me to Balvanger. This is their sledge. The rope is frayed in exactly the same place. I remember that because I was trying to fray it a bit more. And it's all I could see with having that hood over my face. How come it's in a museum? It only happened a week ago in my world. A human skull with holes in it? Like Stanislaw Grumman's.
You've got a thing about skulls.
I haven't.
Have?
The museum's deserted. Let's ask the alethiometer about it.
It'll say you've got an unhealthy obsession and you ought to take up playing the recorder.
The man whose skull this is lived 33,254 years ago. He was a sorcerer.
And his name was...
Shut up. The holes were to let the gods in. There's more dust around his skull than there is around the next one with the bronze arrowhead stuck in it. What's it say on the label?
Bronze Age.
Don't know what that means. Except maybe something to do with the arrowhead being bronze.
I see you're looking at the Trepan skulls.
Am I?
It's an early example of brain surgery.
Yeah?
No anaesthetic, no disinfectant, and only stone tools. But otherwise a very sophisticated technique. Let me introduce myself. I'm Sir Charles Latram. And you are?
Lizzie.
Lizzie. Hello. When I was your age, I was just as fascinated by these exhibits. In fact, I went on to do a degree in paleontology. That's the study of very ancient things.
Is it?
Now, the man with the Trepan skull, I've always wondered who he was.
He was probably...
What?
A colander.
Yeah, what a delightful sense of humour. Anyway, here's my card. Do come and see me. Bring your parents along and we'll have tea.
Thank you. I have to go now. My brother will be waiting.
You have a brother? I'll fetch him along too. Goodbye for now, Lizzie. Goodbye.
He's watching us leave. Seems he's got a thing about skulls too.
I don't like him, Pan.
Me neither.
And I'm sure I've seen him before. I'll ask the alethiometer where I can find a scholar who knows about dust. You must help the boy find his father. I've come all this way to help him. That can't be right. Do not lie to the scholar. Fine, I won't.
Yes, but where can we find one?
In that building. The one with the strange-looking roof, on the second floor.
That alethiometer's good, isn't it?
Yeah, except when it says stuff you don't want to hear. Like, help the boy. Come on, we have to look for a sign that says dark matter.
Dark matter? Is that what they call dust here?
In the Oxford Library, Will uses the microfiche to read about the true adventures of his missing father. His hands shake. For the first time ever, he sees a photo of John Parry. Will wonders if he looks like him. Yes, he decides. Yes, he does. And he smiles.
John Parry departs for Alaska, sponsored by the Institute of Archaeology, Oxford. He's surveying an area in which they hope to find evidence of early human settlements. 6 weeks later, they've reached the North American Arctic Survey Station at Noatak in Alaska. 2 months after that, no reply signals from the survey station. John Parry and companions presumed missing. Oh, and here's Mum holding a baby. Me. Anything else? No. Where's the place that organised everything? That's it. The Institute of Archaeology.
Lyra enters the college the alethiometer had told her contained the scientists. She is flummoxed by the revolving doors, and it takes her 2 goes to get inside the building. Anne hides in her pocket as a hamster. The porter hardly looks up from his newspaper.
Excuse me, miss. Where are you going?
I've got a message for someone on the second floor.
You have?
Yeah, I have.
Go on, then. You better not be bunking off school.
This must be it. Dark Matter Research Unit.
Come in!
Who are you?
I'm Lyra Silvertongue.
Silvertongue? That's unusual. I'm Dr. Mary Malone. How can I help you?
I've been told you know about dust.
I do. You've seen my flat, then?
No. Dust elementary particles that come out of space and fix on people. I was in the museum down the road, and there was an old skull with holes drilled in it, and there was a lot more dust around that than the one with the arrow hole. Well, they've got it wrong when they wrote that label. The skull with 2 holes is 33,000 years old.
No, impossible. Look, where do you come from?
I come from another world.
You're not the new Doctor Who by any chance?
And there's an Oxford just like this, only different. And I got to find out about dust. In my world, they think it's original sin.
Elementary particles are original sin? That's a novel idea. It actually sounds like something we've been investigating. Only we call it shadow particles. But what's the point? I've got a week to put together a proposal to the funding committee, but we haven't got our hope in hell. I'll have to make coffee. You want some?
Yes, please. The picture on the door. What is it?
That? It's Chinese. The symbols of the I Ching.
What's it about?
It's supposed to be a way of consulting the future. For guidance, advice.
Right. And what's dark matter?
We can see the stars and galaxies, but for it not to fly apart, there needs to be a lot more of it. That missing bit we call dark matter. We set up an electromagnetic field around a detector. Then we amplify the signal and put it through the computer.
The computer?
Have a ginger biscuit.
Thank you. Pam, do you know what a computer is?
No idea. Ask. One of our team discovered that these shadow particles are conscious. You know, they're aware of us. They seem to respond. We watch them on the cave.
The cave?
That's what we call the computer, after a philosopher called Plato described consciousness as shadows on a cave wall. The shadow particles collect around everything humans create. My colleague borrowed fossil skulls from the museum and tested them to see how far back the effect went. There was a cut-off point about 30,000 years ago. Before that, no shadows. And that's about the time that modern human beings appeared.
Can I see the cave? I want to try it. What's the computer?
Look, I'm really, really tired. I mean, how did you find your way to me?
With this.
A compass?
An alethiometer.
Solid gold.
I think it does what your cave does. If I can answer a question, something only you know, can I have a go on the cave?
Are you going to tell my fortune? Huh. I already know.
No, please, just ask me a question.
Oh, all right. Tell me, what was I doing before I worked here?
Right. You used to be a nun, but you stopped believing.
And you found that out from...
The alethiometer. Yeah. It told me to come and see you. Now can I try the cave?
I must be mad. But come on, Laura. You can have 20 minutes.
It's Lyra. Oh, that sounds like the noise at Balvanger. It's all right, Pam. We're safe.
Who's Pam?
He's my pet.
a hamster.
You fetched your hamster? Vicious little things. It's not going to escape and gnaw through the wires, is it?
He won't. He can't gnaw. His teeth haven't come through yet, because he's only a baby.
Not sure I believe you, but he's made no attempt at freedom so far. Come and sit down. I need to put gel on your forehead to help the electrical contact. Now, I'll attach the electrodes. You see, the room's full of shadows. The universe is full of shadows. But you can only see them when you empty your mind and look at the screen.
All right. If I stare at the cave and imagine I'm looking at the alethiometer, and if I concentrate in exactly the same way, yes!
The computer screen explodes into a stream of dancing lights. A shimmering curtain like the aurora borealis.
Is this dust? Yes. And is it the same thing making the alethiometer needle move?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Dr. Malone, what is it?
It's the best display I've ever seen.
Can you read it?
You don't actually read it.
I think you're supposed to. It can make pictures like on the alethiometer. See, there's an elephant, a lamp, and compasses, and an angel. Hang on, I'll ask it. How can Dr. Malone understand you? It says you can use words, but you need a lot of careful figuring with numbers.
A new computer program.
And the angel. That's about messages. There's things it wants to say.
Specific things? It's actually got something to tell us?
Yeah, but when it went on to that second bit, the elephant, it meant Asia. Almost the furthest east, but not quite.
China, maybe.
It says they talked just there. Only their way uses sticks. Oh, I see. It means that picture on the wall.
The I Ching? And that's shadow particles, too.
Yeah. You said people asked it questions and it guided them. It also says you're important. So you have to hurry up. So it can use words and talk to you.
All right. Where do you come from, really?
Another universe. But I had to run away, because people in my world were trying to kill me. What I want to know is why do the people in my world hate dust? They think it's evil, but what they do is evil. So is it good or bad?
I became a scientist so I wouldn't have to think about that kind of thing.
Well, you can't investigate dust without thinking about good and evil. Did you say they were going to close this place down?
The funding committee decides at the end of the week. Why?
Well, you've got to fix this engine, to put words on the screen tonight. Then they'd have to give you the money to carry on. And you could find out about dust and tell me. I'm taking these electrodes off now. They're making me hot.
Can you come back tomorrow?
When?
About the same time. I want you to show someone else.
Well, all right. But remember, there's things I need to know.
Will, too, has had some success. He's been able to find the Archaeological Institute, sponsors of his father's last expedition. He now sits in a strange, spice-smelling room, with its high walls covered in masks, amulets and carved animals.
The Nuntiac, Dick. You're the second person in a month to ask me about that. It's unusual.
Who's the first?
A journalist.
Why did he want to know about it?
In connection with one of the men who disappeared. Anyway, what do you want it for?
A school project.
Is that right? Well, there was a big to-do at the time. It was a preliminary survey. They were looking for signs of an earlier civilization. There was a physicist on the team and an ex-marine, a professional explorer. They were going into the wild territory, and polar bears are always a danger in the Arctic. Archaeologists are not trained to shoot, and someone who can do all that survival stuff is useful. But then they all vanished.
Thank you. Who was the journalist interested in?
The explorer, Parry.
And this journalist, what did he look like?
Why do you want to know?
I just wondered if he was famous, you know, if I'd seen him on the telly.
He was a big blonde man, very pale hair. Maybe he's on a regional news program.
Right. Thanks for your help.
Thought you ought to know. The boy turned up here, asking about his father. He's only just left.
Will!
Where did you come from?
I found my scholar. She's called Dr. Malone. And she's got an engine that can see dust. And she's going to make it talk.
I didn't see you coming.
Well, you weren't looking. So it's a good job I found you. Look, it's easy to fool people. See those two police officers? What if they're looking for you? I could go up and ask them directions and that. I could slip in the fact that you're my brother.
Don't. If you speak to people, you just attract their attention. And look at you. You're all bruises. You shouldn't play at it. You're not being serious.
You're in danger. And in my opinion, it's you that ain't serious.
What am I doing hanging about waiting for you when I could be miles away?
Well, you had to come back here, or you never find out about your father.
What do you know about my father?
Well, you're looking for him. That's all I asked about.
Asked who?
The alethiometer.
What? What on earth is that? It looks very old and very valuable. What are all those pictures round the edge?
You see which ones the hands point to after you've asked a question.
And it's able to tell you things?
That's right. I'll show you. Your mother's ill, but she's safe. And you took some letters and ran away. And there was a thief, and you killed him.
Shut up! That's just spying. You've got no right to look into my life like that.
Well, the alethiometer's like a person. I know when to stop asking. When you come out of nowhere yesterday, I had to ask it who you were, or I might not have been safe. And it said you were a murderer.
Right. You could have asked me instead of that thing. Did it say whether my father was alive or dead?
I didn't ask.
Well, I suppose we'll have to trust each other.
I trust you. And Will, I won't ever give you away. I promise.
Good.
I've done that before. I betrayed somebody. It was the worst thing I ever did.
We can't go back to the window till it's dark. I know. We can go to the cinema.
Cinema? That's something else I never heard of. That's the best thing I ever saw in my whole life. E.T. phone home. I don't know why they never invented the movies in my world. We ain't even got phones.
Let's go through the window.
Did you find anything out in Oxford? Only you never said.
I realised I was being hunted. At least, that's what it felt like.
Who by?
Not sure. Anyway, all I want now is some dinner, a hot bath and bed. Let's get back to the cafe.
The kids! They're surrounding that tower. What are they throwing stones at?
Hey!
Let's do what?
Oh, it's the tabby cat. They're throwing stones at her. Come on, puss puss. Stop it! You'll kill her! Let me pick her up. Why are you hurting this cat?
You don't know about cats.
Where do you come from anyway?
I'll take her back with us. She's terrified. Look, you've cut her ear.
She scratches and puts the devil in you.
Kill the buggers!
She's harmless. If she scratched you, you probably deserved it.
All right, you can take her. Come on.
Will, look up there. Someone's leaning off the top of the tower.
He looks a bit like Angelica and Paolo. It's probably this brother that they keep mentioning.
Tullio?
Yeah, but for all we know, he's checking his aim before he drops lumps of masonry on our heads. Let's just get back to the flat. The poor cat's really scared.
Is she all right?
Her tail's broken. Maybe it'll heal by itself. I'll put some honey on her cut ear. That's supposed to be good.
You sure this is the cat you saw in the other Oxford?
Certain. I followed her here. If they're that frightened of cats, there can't be any in this world.
I'm going to bed. I'm really, really tired.
All right. Good night. I don't think there'll be any more trouble.
I bet you're right. Well, good night then.
I'll read Dad's letters. I'll have to. I need to work out what's going on. There's not as many as I expected. They're all airmail. They feel a bit fragile. They must be 10 years old. Oh, Dad.
Fairbanks, Alaska, 19th June, 1985. My darling, the usual mixture of chaos and efficiency. The physicist, Nelson, hasn't made arrangements for carrying his balloons up the mountain, having to twiddle our thumbs whilst he scrabbles around for transport. But I had a chance talk to a gold miner who knows about the anomaly. Had a map of the area and marked where the thing was. And no one on the expedition has heard of it, and I'm going to keep it that way. He described the thing as a gap in the air, a sort of window. You look through it and see another world. It's at 69 degrees, 2 minutes, 12 seconds north, 157 degrees, 12 minutes, 19 seconds west, near a tall rock shaped like a standing bear. I'll bring you back a trophy from the spirit world. Kiss the boy for me. Johnny.
That's what I found. A sort of window. Those men don't realize there's more than one, and it's right under their noses in Oxford.
In Lyra's world, her friend, Lee Scoresby, has flown to Nova Zembla in his patched and muddied balloon. He's hoping to find Stanislaw Grumman and persuade him to part with an object that makes the owner invincible. He's praying his powers of persuasion are up to the job. His inquiries lead him to a smoke-filled bar, the haunt of fur trappers and traders.
Grumman, from the Berlin Academy. Reckless. I met him over at the northern end of the Urals. He was lying on a sledge, alternately roaring with pain and calling out instructions to his men. You know he was a Tatar by initiation.
You don't say. Here, let me tap you out. What tribe did he join?
The Yenisei Pictars, near a fork of the Yenisei River. There's a rock the size of a house at the landing stage.
I've flown over it.
Grumman was a shaman. The tribe recognized him as such before they adopted him. Some business, that trepanning. They use a bow drill, like for lighting a fire.
That man's curiosity was as powerful as a wolf's jaws. There was a witch who wanted him for a lover, but he turned it down.
Oh. Is that so?
A witch offers you her love. You should take it. Otherwise, bad things happen.
That's right.
Maybe he was faithful to another woman. I heard he had some magic object that could protect anyone who held it.
He didn't have it, but he knew where it was.
What happened to him?
He got mixed up in the Skraeling Wars. He was shot.
I thought they beheaded him.
Grumman was buried under 100 tons of rock. An Inuit saw it happen.
Drink, anyone?
Why are you so interested?
He owes me money.
The fishermen say you can sail right up into that new world.
New world?
As soon as the damn fog clears, we'll see right into it.
Instead of the earth curving down over the horizon, it goes straight on. There's land and shoreline, mountains, harbors, green trees and fields of corn. I could have paddled up the sky in my kayak, but the fog came.
Stanislaw Grumman's dead.
Well, if I want my money, I can chase up his heirs and his signs. I thank you, gentlemen.
Lee.
Yes, Hester.
There was someone watching you back there in the bar. He kept to the shadows, but I could see he got that pudding basin haircut agents of the Magisterium seem to favor.
In fact, the man with the laughable hairstyle on top of his fanatical mind has followed them. He's walking stealthily, closing in. Suddenly, his owl demon swoops at Hester.
Hey!
He damn near took my hat off. Now, where's he gone? Slunk behind that wall, I guess.
It's a quiet man's demon. He's followed us.
Okay, I'm ready.
He's gonna shoot. So shoot first, boy.
I'll aim for his leg. Yeah, here he comes.
You got him!
Hey, would you try that for, mister?
I have sent a messenger bird, so the Magisterium will know of your inquiries. They'll be glad to learn about the heretic Grumman.
What do you mean?
You are an enemy of the Magisterium. You are an ally of evil. You are seeking knowledge of what it is forbidden to know.
Not sure how you make that out, mister. Anyway, I reckon my bullet hit an artery. Let go my sleeve and I'll make a tourniquet.
No! I shall have the martyr's palm!
Then die if you want to. Just tell me this. He's gone. Yep, his demon's vanished.
Take his ring, Lee.
We ain't thieves, Hester.
No, we're renegades. Once the Magisterium learns about this, we're done for. Take the ring. Maybe we can use it.
I see the sense, Hester. Now I best drag his body away from the road so it won't be found too quickly. I hate killing.
Oh, you're in deep, boy. The Magisterium will exact retribution.
Like I say, Hester, these people are insane. Who's that?
Oh, it's okay. It's Umak.
Lee, I heard the gunshot.
Humek, did you know Dr. Grumman's Tartar name?
Not Tartar. His name was Jabari.
Is he really dead?
You better go to Yenisei. Ask his tribe.
People who initiated him?
Maybe he is neither dead nor alive. I say too much.
Well, Hester, we better find ourselves a ship heading for the mouth of the Yenisei.
Back in Lyra and Will's new world, Serafina Pecula, Ruta Skadi, and the company of warrior witches fly over Chittagatsi's outlying countryside. They are puzzled by the clumps of drifting mist that seem to be the only inhabitants.
I have never seen anything like these spectral forms. I mistrust them.
Are they alive, Serafina?
Alive or dead, they're full of malice. Unless I knew what weapon would harm them, I wouldn't want to go closer.
But look up. There's a troop of angels.
They are flying north, and north is always the abode of spirits. Sister, if these angels are going to Lord Azrael, I'll go with them. Thank you for your company.
Fly well, sister!
Ruta Skadi soars upwards, at first through the shreds of clouds, then higher to where the sunlight fills the thin air. She is accompanied by her blue-throat demon, Sergei, a bird as adept at flying as a summer breeze.
We are going high.
Yes, we must reach them.
They are so high, the stars are visible at their backs, despite this being day.
They are going swiftly, Sergei. Let's catch them. Angels, I'm the witch queen Ruta Skadi.
Four of the company of angels turn to face her, their great wings beating inwards till they stand upright in the air. They surround her.
Where are you going?
We are following a call.
Whose call?
A man's.
Lord Azrael's?
Yes.
Then you can guide me to him.
Why?
I want to offer allegiance.
The angels lie down in the air again and pour like sunlit water towards the brilliant North Star, with Ruta Skadi and her demon floating among them like leaves on a stream.
Angels, have we left the world I found you in?
Yes.
Where was the boundary?
There are invisible gateways. Lord Azrael is in this world, and this is his fortress.
Together they fly down toward the massive basalt fortress where Lord Azrael gathers his armies for an assault on heaven itself. Meanwhile, it's morning in the world of Chittagatsi. Children play in the harbor on pedal boats. Lyra and Pan find Angelica toweling dry her brother's hair after a swim. She's alone because Will is still asleep in his room in the cafe. Cat curled up on the bed with him.
Angelica, why were you scared of that cat?
They bite and put the devil in you.
That's just superstition.
They guide specters. When a cat sees a specter, it takes them to where they can feast on a grown-up. My grandmother had three cats, and they took the spectres into her house while she was sleeping.
How do you know? She wouldn't be able to tell you.
My mother saw them.
Oh, Angelica, you pulled my hair again.
You big baby.
I'm not a baby.
Me and Will, we don't have spectres where we come from. We don't know about them.
If you see them, they can get you.
And they're here now?
Yeah, all around. They can't hurt us, so we can't hurt them.
But why did they come here in the first place?
They come because of the guild. The Torre degli Angeli, the stone tower, belongs to the guild. There's a secret place in there. They let the spectres in.
Spectres came from the stars.
No, they didn't. What really happened was this guild man was taking lead apart to make gold, and he cut it smaller and smaller till he come to the smallest piece he could get. There ain't nothing smaller than that. He cut that too, and inside was all the spectres packed and twisted over and folded up so tight that they took up no space at all. But once he cut it, bam, they whooshed out and they've been here ever since.
Is there any guild men in the tower now?
No, they've run away.
The cat came from there, looking for grown-ups to feed to the spectres. Only, ain't nobody left in the tower, except ghosts. Hey, Paolo, come back, I ain't finished.
Oh, you've made my head
go. Come here, you little bugger.
I've seen a young man looking out of the tower. I'm a practiced liar, Pan, and I can spot liars. Why aren't they telling us the truth? What do you think those cold figures are on the tower?
Angels?
Or spectres? Well, let's look around another day. Maybe when Will's with us. Now, we better get straight back to Dr. Malone.
Lyra returns to Will's Oxford and to Dr. Malone's college. The revolving door tricks her again, and she goes round it three times before stumbling out into the hall.
Don't fool around that door. It's not a playground. And stop there. You can't go in.
Well, you just asked Dr. Malone. She's expecting me.
Dr. Malone? A little girl here. Yeah. She's got a bruised face. All right. I'll send her straight up. Mind you don't go anywhere else.
Shh! What is it, Dr. Malone?
There's a police officer waiting for you in the lab.
How did you know I was coming?
I've no idea.
Is that the girl, Dr. Malone?
Yes, she was just using the washroom.
So, this is Lyra. Come and sit down. That's it. Draw up a chair. Closer. I won't bite. I'm Inspector Walters, Lyra. Now, I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Shouldn't she have somebody with her?
Well, you're here, Dr. Malone.
Yes, but I'm not as...
Dear, dear, how did you get those bruises? Has somebody been knocking you about?
Of course not.
And shouldn't you be at school?
My father teaches me.
Interesting. I'm told you're not from here, so where are you staying?
With friends.
With friends? Mm. Now, Lyra, did Dr. Malone show you her work on dark matter?
Yeah. Well, some. I only stayed an hour.
And were you surprised? I mean, the cave's very impressive, isn't it?
It is, but my father's doing something similar.
And I suppose you had lots to tell Will when you left here yesterday.
Yeah, only... I mean, who's Will?
You better come with me. William Parry is wanted in connection with the murder...
Run, Lyra, run. Will's life depends on you escaping.
Stop that girl!
All right, you, come here!
Down, where's she?
Oh, out of my way!
You're stupid, man! Which way?
Run, Lyra! He's nearly caught us!
Oh, help me, Pan!
Down this road! You'll lose yourself in the crowd. You're not going to outrun him. Quick, hide here.
Oh, I'm scared. Oh, what if... Oh, Pan!
He's gone.
You sure?
Yes. You've got to get back to Chittagatsi and tell Will.
Dr. Malone, she helped us.
You were supposed to help Will find his father. This world's just as dangerous as ours.
I feel awful.
There's a big cough coming up.
Oh no, I can't run anymore. I've got a stitch.
Oh, it's that man from the museum. The best act like nothing's wrong.
Lizzie! Hello! It's a Charles from the museum. Can I give you a lift somewhere?
It may be our only chance to get away, but be careful.
Come on, climb in.
Thank you, Sir Charles.
Ah, where can I drop you off?
Summertown, please.
Summertown, Alan. How's your friend?
What friend?
The one you're staying with.
She's well, thank you.
Is she an archaeologist?
No, she's a physicist. She studies dark matter.
Ah, I saw something about that in the Times this morning. Mysterious stuff. Your friend's on the track of it, is she?
Yeah.
Are you going to be a physicist too?
Depends.
Hard to know what to do with one's life.
Is it?
Ah, here we are, Summertown. Busy, isn't it? Where would you like to be dropped off?
Anywhere past these shops, please.
Pull up on the right, could you, Alan? You can't very well open your door into the stream of traffic. Scramble over. See? There you go. Plenty of room. Lizzie? Here. Don't forget your rucksack.
Thank you. Thanks. Goodbye.
Why is he suddenly in such a hurry?
Pan! It's gone! It's gone!
What?
He's taken the early theometer! You bloody thing!
Shh, don't! People are staring!
I don't bloody care! He's got my early theometer!
Lyra returns to the hot sun of Chittagatsi. In the distance, children are still playing in the warm blue sea. The perfect sky is cloudless. Will is sitting outside on the ochre pavement, drinking lemonade, shaded by a large red sun umbrella. He looks like a holiday poster. Lyra approaches, weeping tears of deepest woe. Pan has become an earthworm, blind and writhing in her pocket.
Lyra, what's wrong?
Oh, Will, I'm so very sorry.
What's the matter? What's happened?
That old man, he stole my alethiometer. Oh, I've done such wrong things this morning. I don't know.
Lyra, please do. Look, Pan.
Shh.
Quieter, Pan. If the children hear a wolf howling, we'll be in more trouble. Come on.
I promised I wouldn't give you away. And I did.
We went to the scholar, and there was a policeman waiting for us. He asked a load of questions. Then he suddenly asked about you. We gave it away. We knew you. Then we ran off.
From wolf to lamb to snake and curled-up hedgehog, Pan tries to find a form that matches his distress.
What was the man like?
Big and strong, with pale eyes and very white hair, and he ran ever so fast.
Did he see you come back through the window?
No, we lost him.
So he won't know where we are then. It's not so bad.
But the alethiometer, the old man dropped in his big shining cart, so I thought it was a way of escaping. Then the cart parked up, so I had to climb across him to get out. That's when he stole it.
I'm sorry you've lost your alethiometer.
The alethiometer told me to help you find your father. Only I didn't listen. And if I had it, I could take you to him.
You mean you could have told me how to find him? Why didn't you ask it?
I don't know. Oh, Will, I'm so sorry. But we've got to help each other.
I can't see how. I mean, are you sure you didn't just drop it when you were chased?
No. I could feel it in my rucksack when I got in the cart.
Lyra, wait. He gave you his card in the museum. Did you throw it away?
No. It's still in my pocket. Here.
Sir Charles Latcham, Limefield House, Old Headington, Oxford. Oh, he's a sir. People will believe him, whatever he says. And we can't go to the police because they're after me.
We could steal it back.
How? He's going to have all kinds of burglar alarms, special locks and lights with switches triggered by movement.
Is he? We ain't got them in my world.
My world's got more anti-theft devices than it has things worth stealing.
So what are we going to do?
We'll go and see him at his house in Oxford. We'll talk to him.
Oh, we got these bell pulls in my world.
We've usually got something a bit more modern.
Yes?
We want to see Sir Charles Latcham.
Wait there.
Oh, you noticed that, Lyra? The door's got two heavy locks, bolts, top and bottom. And you see up there? That's a burglar alarm. And there's a large floodlight at each corner of the house. This place will be flooded like a football stadium at night.
A football stadium? What's that?
Yes?
Lyra left something in your car.
I don't know a Lyra. I know Lizzie. And who are you?
I'm her brother, Mark.
You'd better come into my study.
In here. Sit down. Is this the object?
That's mine!
But it isn't yours, Lizzie. Or Lyra.
It is.
Look, I know it's hers. I've seen her with it.
It's too old and valuable to belong to a scruffy little girl. I must say, Lyra, I'm surprised to find you so dishonest.
I ain't dishonest.
In that case, I suggest we call the police.
No, wait.
You don't even know what it is you stole. You're...
No, don't spit.
Oh, sit down, you filthy, nasty little brat. There's something I want even more than this alethiometer. I can't get it myself, so I'll make a deal.
What is it?
You've found a doorway through to another world. One where grown-ups go at their peril. Am I right? Good. The man who made the doorway has a knife, and he's hiding in the Torre dell'Angeli. Bring me the knife, and you can have the alethiometer.
I thought so. You're from that world.
No, I'm not. But I want that knife.
Come to my house without it, and I'll call the police. You see, I know who you are, boy. You're William Parry, aren't you? Your photo's in today's paper. It's rather a good likeness. Everyone's surprised that someone so young could be such a cold-blooded killer. And apparently your mother's missing. There's some speculation that you may also have killed her.
What? No. How could I?
You're not safe on the streets, William Parry. If you're recognized, people may well take the law into their own hands.
Nervously, Lyra and Will hurry back to Chittagatse and to the square overlooked by the sinister Torre degli Angeli, whose strange rough carvings seem to twitch as the sun moves across them.
So, you really think we should try and get the knife?
Yeah, otherwise you can say goodbye to your alethiometer. You saw his house. I bet there's locks on his locks.
Yeah, well, I don't like doing something just because he told us to.
We don't have much choice.
I'm sure Angelica and Paolo's older brother is in the tower. Maybe he owns the knife, or he's gone to try and get it. Remember when Paolo started talking about him, and then Angelica shut him up?
Well, we'll find out if it's him in a minute.
We can't go in there. No.
Hush, Pan. Can't you fly up and look in?
I'm not turning into a bird.
Yes, you are.
You shouldn't force me.
Now be brave and fly up. Go on.
Wish I wasn't your demon.
No, you don't. Please, fly as high as you can. Ow! Oh, Pan, come back! Come back down, now!
Lyra, are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, it hurts when your demon goes away from you.
I didn't realise.
Oh, did you see anything, Pan?
Yes, a man with red hair, dancing.
Dancing?
Or fighting.
I'd prefer dancing. Come on.
He's talking to himself.
Not a good sign, is it?
Why is he jabbing the air with a knife? He looks mad. It's Julio, though, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got his family, isn't
he? Will, Lyra and Pan continue to ascend the cold stone steps that spiral upwards into the gloom. There are 7 floors, each with a doorway. Most of the doors hang off their hinges, and displayed on the walls, they can see musical instruments, lutes, sackbuts, viols, alongside rust-perished broadswords, shields, and daggers. Moths fill the air. As they get to the top of the tower, a great shaft of sunlight blinds them.
Oh, the sun's right in my eyes. Can you see who it is?
No, it's too bright.
They emerge onto the roof of the tower. Lying helpless in the burning light and bound with ropes lies an old man. He's cut and bruised and bleeding.
Did the man with the knife do this?
Yeah.
Let's get you in the shade.
Would you like some water?
No, time for that.
Who are you?
I am Giacomo Paradisi. I am the bearer. The young man is going to kill me.
What's the bearer?
I hold the subtle knife on behalf of the guild. Where is the youth?
Downstairs.
Did he see you?
No. He was too busy waving his knife in the air.
Trying to cut through. he won't succeed.
Watch out, Will! He's behind you!
Will turns just as Tullio, a gaunt, sweating youth, arrives on the roof. Momentarily blinded by the intense glare, he jabs the air with his knife. Will punches Tullio on the side of his head to attract his attention.
This knife is mine! You'll never take it off me, little boy!
Be careful, Will!
The object of fighting, I learned at school, is to hurt someone more than they're hurting you.
You're not going to hurt me!
Be careful! The knife is more dangerous than you know, boy!
What do you mean?
Will manages to hurl Tullio onto his back and wind him. Tullio raises his knees and pushes himself along the floor, scuttling back against the parapet. He continues to wave the knife in front of him.
Will! Grab this rope around your hand! It'll protect you from the blade!
Take the knife! Take it, why don't you?
Okay.
No!
Tullio lashes out. The knife seems to pass straight through Will's hand.
Will! He's hurt you!
Where's this blood coming from?
Look out, Will!
Will, angered by the pain, runs full tilt at Tullio, sending him reeling backwards and knocking the knife from his grip. Tullio's sent sprawling down the stone steps.
Where's the knife?
It's sliding towards the guttering. Stop it! Stand on the handle!
Got it.
It's over.
Your hand! Will!
Ah! I...
Will!
I...
He's all right. This is a natural response. Let's help him to his feet and take him downstairs to my study.
Sit down, Will. He just passed out for a moment.
I've never fainted in my life before. Lyra, undo the rope. Careful. Oh!
Your little finger! And the next finger! They've been cut clean through.
Just look at them on the floor. Curled up like a bloody quotation mark.
Stop that! Mr. Paradisi's got some medicine.
Drink this. It's plum wine.
In my world, this is drunk at Christmas. Not after nasty accidents. Oh!
Mr. Paradisi, can you heal him?
We guildsmen have medicines for everything. This ointment is precious and difficult to obtain.
Antiseptic cream? I could have bought that from any chemist shop in Oxford.
Will, Mr. Paradisi's doing his best.
And I'm doing my best bleeding.
Lyra, quick, come and sit down in the square.
Oh, it's Julio. He's shaking and trying to keep something from his face. And he's counting. He's counting the stones on the wall.
The spectres have got him. Look, there's Angelica and Paolo.
Julio, run! Take my hands. We'll run back to the hills. Look at me, Julio. No! The buggers have got him!
No! Come on!
Stay! Angelica, look up in the tower. That girl, she's watching us.
You've done this! We're going to kill you! We're going to kill you!
And don't say anything to Will. Not yet.
No, but those kids are going to be trouble. Mr. Paradisi, Will's still bleeding. You got to tie something round his arm to stop it.
Yes, I know. I thought the ointment might help more than it has.
You obviously haven't read the label.
Will, he's trying to help. Wish I got some blood moss.
Oh.
There. I have much experience at tying tourniquets.
That's hardly a recommendation.
Take the knife.
No.
You are the bearer now.
I thought you said he was.
The knife knows when to leave one hand and settle in another. Look. I lost the same fingers.
But he didn't come to get the knife for himself. He can't be the bearer or anything. He's looking for his father.
I only came because a man stole something of Lyra's and he wants the knife in exchange for it.
I know him. Once he has the knife, he will betray you. You must never let him have it. Now, pull the knife towards you. It belongs to you. You have no choice but to take it.
It's nothing special.
Look closer. Tell me what you see.
Double-sided blade. Dull metal. A short cross piece of the same metal. And the handle.
Inlaid rosewood.
It has gold wires forming an angel. Wings folded one side. Wings raised on the other. And the blade has swirls of colours that seem to live just under the surface. Like shadow colours. The two edges are different. One is clear, bright steel and sharp. The other edge seems just as keen, but silvery.
This edge will cut through everything. Lay the blade against the silver spoon.
Wow!
And with the other edge, you can cut an opening out of this world altogether. I have little time left, but I must teach you. Stand up. Raise up the knife.
No, I don't want to.
You have no choice. Hold the knife out ahead of you. It's not only the knife that has to cut, it's your own mind. Think about the knife tip. Feel with it gently. You're looking for a gap invisible to sight. But the knife tip will find it.
Will, exhausted, distressed, in terrible pain and weak with loss of blood, waves the blade in the air. And he slowly lays the knife on the floor. His head is bowed and he crouches down, hugging his wounded hand. He then begins to cry as though he were alone, unwatched. Quietly, Pan transforms himself into a wolfhound. He begins to lick Will's wounded hand, laying his head on his knee, looking directly into his eyes.
Oh, Pan. Pan's never done that before. Ever. Demons usually avoid other people.
Will has been touched by Lyra's soul.
I'll try again. Tell me what I have to do.
Loosen your fingers. Place your mind on the tip.
I felt something, like a snag in the air.
Good. This time, when you feel it, slide the knife in and make a cut.
Oh, but my arm's aching.
Support it with the other one. Now try.
Yes. Oxford. Over a cemetery. Looking back towards the city.
Oh, there's people. I think it's a funeral. That's a bit grim.
It's how I feel.
Now you must learn to close it. Feel for the edge with your other hand. Touch delicately. Then pinch it together.
I feel like I'm playing air castanets. What am I doing wrong?
Perhaps if you don't try to shut out the pain.
Shut it out?
Yeah. If you feel everything, you can feel the edges.
It's worked!
I don't know why, but I thought it might.
Here's the leather and horn sheath. You must always keep the knife in here and buckle it tight. Any sideways movement and the blade will cut straight through.
There.
My predecessors in the Guild of the Torre degli Angeli became curious about the bonds that held matter together, and we let the spectres in. There are several windows into other worlds because other knife bearers were careless. However, I left the window under the hornbeam trees open to tempt the man you spoke of, hoping he would fall victim to the spectres. Never let him have the knife.
We won't.
The bearer should not be a child, and I am sorry that you now have the responsibility. But go. Keep the knife secret, and never use it for a base purpose. I shall die soon, because I know where there are poisons. I won't wait for the spectres.
Thank you, Mr. Paradisi.
I don't like leaving him to die. That seems horrible. He's a poor, injured old man.
Better than having your life sucked out by a spectre. He's really got no choice.
How come he wasn't being attacked by them before?
Perhaps it was the antiseptic ointment he thought was so precious. I don't know.
So what do we do now?
We'll steal the alethiometer. We can use this knife to cut a window into Sir Charles's house and take it out of his cabinet. Only, I'm tired, I'm thirsty, I've lost two of my fingers, and I ought to change my clothes. Good job I didn't pack gloves, eh?
Don't, Will.
Let's get back to the flat.
We best keep watch for the other children.
Why? They're the least of our problems.
Maybe.
Lyra and Will return to the flat above the cafe. They both pack their few belongings. Somehow, they know they won't be going back there. Will and Lyra now make their way through a moonlit Chittagatse, frequently stopping to slice windows into Will's Oxford to check their position. He cuts a window close to a man eating a takeaway and talking on his mobile. Lyra reaches through and grabs a chip.
We're only a short way from Sir Charles's house.
The bandage is soaked again.
I know. Come on.
And the cat's following.
Okay, I'll try cutting through here. We're inside Sir Charles's rhododendrons. Let's climb through.
There's no lights on in the house.
But the garden's floodlit. We'd never cross it unseen. Can we get a bit closer without breaking cover?
Yeah. The cat's still following.
Okay, I'll leave you here on lookout. I'm going back into Chittagatse.
You're not going to close this window up?
No, because I'll come back for you once I've cut into Sir Charles's study and taken the alethiometer. All right?
Yeah. Me and Pan will both look out. See, he's an owl.
He's useful, isn't he? Let me work out how many steps it will take to the study, and the direction. Right. Now I'll get back to Chittagatse.
Lyra!
What?
There's a cart coming.
Oh, it's a child. And someone's with him. Pam, go through the bushes and take a closer look. Don't go too far.
Don't worry, I won't.
My dear.
Thank you, Charles.
Mrs. Coulter!
And that golden monkey! Will was right. Demon can mean evil.
Look, Come on, we must warn Will.
No, wrong direction. Maybe if I do a 90-degree turn. Great, Sir Charles's study. Yep, I can just about manage to reach. Deliviometer's missing. There's a space it was in. I'll have to go through into the room. He's moved it. He can't have guessed we'd use the knife. Anything on the desk? No. Am I imagining that sound? No! Better get back.
Will, I came back through to warn you about the cart.
I heard it. The bad news is, the alethiometer's not there. I'm going to see if he put it back in the cabinet. He may have been showing it off.
It's worse. She's with him. My mother, Mrs. Coulter. If she sees me, I'm dead. And I remembered. He's Lord Boreal from my world. He knew who I was all along. Look, if they come through the door, will they notice this window?
No, it's at the wrong angle. As long as we're quiet. It'll be a bit like watching television, except we're in the screen.
What's television?
Shh, tell you later. Be very quiet.
May I offer you a glass of Tokai, Marissa?
Thank you, Charles. I haven't tasted Tokai for many years.
Your good health. Now, tell me what you want.
I want to find Lyra.
Why? She's a repellent brat.
She's my daughter. Where is she?
First, tell me something. What is Azriel up to?
Gathering an army to complete the war that was started in heaven eons ago.
How medieval. But he seems to have very modern powers.
He found a way of blasting open the barrier between our world and others. That must resonate in this world, too. What is this world, and why did you bring me here?
Oh, it's one of millions. There are openings between them, but they're not easily found, and the places they open into have shifted. Previously, one world acted as a crossroads, and all the doorways opened into that. Chitagetse? The crossroads. Adults are attacked by a type of parasite, a spectre. But they don't touch children.
This difference between children and adults is the heart of everything. It contains the mystery of dust. I must find Lyra. She has the answer.
Well, she doesn't have manners. But a subtle knife will bring her to me. And once she's given me what I want, you can have her. Now, tell me about your strange bodyguard, Marissa.
They've had their demons removed. They fight till they're torn apart.
Oh, this world would call them zombies, then. I wonder if you can spare one. I'd like to see if the spectres attack. If they don't, we might be able to travel to Chitigetse after all.
If these spectres have needs and desires, I can control them.
I'm sure you could, Marissa. Have some more wine.
What exactly are you doing in this world, Charles?
Oh, I found myself here a long time ago. Being part of the Council of State at home made it easy to see where the power lay. And I became a spy. The profound disturbance in the Earth's magnetic field, Azriel's work, has alarmed the security services. Every nation that does research into fundamental physics is turning to its scientists to discover what is happening. They suspect, correctly, that it has something to do with other worlds. There is also research into dust.
So they know about it?
Yes. And a man who disappeared 10, 11 years ago in the north knew the location of a doorway between the worlds. When this new disturbance began, the security services went looking for him.
He's talking about my father, Lyra. There's something else moving in the room.
It's my mother's demon, a golden monkey. He can sense us.
I'm very curious about this alethiometer. Tell me how it works. I've kept it locked away in case your daughter and her criminal friend decided to try to steal it back.
Lyra, find stones and throw them at the study so they look away. I'll grab the alethiometer, then get back into Chitigetse and wait for me.
All right.
I saw the child using it in a museum. I recognized her immediately. When I came across her a second time, I stole it. What's that?
Oh, for goodness sake, it's probably just some children.
Yes, got it. 1-0 to Will Parry. Close the window. Almost. Oh, it's got sharp teeth. Take that. Perhaps I shouldn't have hit him with the alethiometer. But one more second and that nasty little beast would have been through. That demon is nothing like Pan. It's a devil. Right. Let's get back to Sir Charles's front garden again. Wish I wasn't so tired.
Lyra? Lyra! Where's she got to?
Sir Charles has come out of the house and now stands on the exquisite lawn. He removes the safety catch from his gun and levels it at the bushes. He's on the point of firing when the cat that Will befriended jumps from the shrubbery, growling and shrieking. The golden monkey leaps at its face. Sir Charles Latram fires several shots, but his marksmanship is weakened by wine. The monkey screams and jumps back into Mrs. Coulter's arms. Lyra and Pan scramble through the rhododendrons to reach the window. Will's already there.
You're right.
Quick, come to the window. He's still waving that gun about.
That cat saved us. She's done what a good demon would have. We rescued her, and she rescued us.
Now she's in her own world again, away from those stone-throwing kids.
We'll be safer now we've got the alethiometer back.
We'll be safer away from the flat. The children won't know where we are.
Yeah.
How about that big house there?
Good idea, Pan.
At the mouth of the Yenisei River, Lee Scoresby puts his balloon and equipment into storage, and then hires a boat.
Jumping a juniper. This swollen river's full of garbage. Current swift, too. It's going to be a pretty unpleasant journey to Grumman's tribe. Now I know I didn't become a river pilot. Being an aeronaut smells a whole lot sweeter.
We've flown over this territory, so at least it's familiar.
Look at these mosquitoes. They're like a blood-sucking fog.
Better be generous with the jimson weed ointment. I hope Grumman's adopted tribe built their village high.
I hope they're amenable to strangers.
Dr. Grumman, my name's Lee Scoresby from the country of Texas, and I'm an aeronaut.
The winds have blown you a long way from your homeland. Let's sit in this agreeable light and talk out here. I have coffee, if you'd care to share it.
Most kind, sir.
You see, Dr. Grumman, I've been hearing about you all along the Arctic seaboard. But I'm not here out of curiosity. Oh, no. I'm worried about a child. Lyra Balakwa. I happen to think she's important. And so do the witches.
My true name is John Parry. And I brought you here.
You mean you sort of fluence me?
Yes.
Hot hickory. So I had no independence of mind.
I'm a shaman.
I guess that's going to have to do by way of explanation.
I wasn't born in this world. Lord Asriel isn't the first to travel between worlds, though he's the first to open the way so spectacularly.
How'd you end up here?
I was a soldier, and then an explorer. 12 years ago, I accompanied an expedition north. I was looking for something I had heard about from old legends, a rent in the fabric of the world. Three of us stumbled through this doorway without ever seeing it. And this new world was dangerous. Spectres haunted it, and my companions fell victim to their attacks. After a little desperate searching, I found an opening through into this world. As soon as I set foot here, my osprey demon, Sayan Kutur, appeared. Can't imagine my amazement, my astonishment, my absolute delight at learning that part of my own nature was female and bird-formed and beautiful. I was astonished. In this world, I had a demon. Are you a married man, Mr. Scoresby?
No, my style of life isn't particularly suited to that estate.
I was. I loved my wife dearly, as I loved my infant son. I missed them both. But My work absorbed me. Then I was initiated into the Skull Cult, and I came to know about dust.
I've heard something about it myself.
Because I know about dust, I know what Lord Asriel is doing and why. I summoned you because I have to help him. The task he's undertaking is the greatest in human history.
Yes. Well, that seems to be the informed opinion.
I have one great effort left in me, and I know of something Lord Asriel needs if he's to win.
And this is through your wanderings through the spirit world?
Yes. I was intrigued by the world where specters fed on human consciousness.
Glad to say I never knew such a world existed.
I found the philosophers of the Torre degli Angeli in Chittagazzi had created a tool for their own undoing. The subtle knife. It had let the specters into their world. I know where it is, how to recognize the bearer, and what he must do in Lord Asriel's cause. I'm asking you to take me to him. I won't return. And you'll need all your craft, courage, and luck if you want to see your country again. It's the world I told you about, the first I stumbled into, and it's dangerous.
Swear you'll get Lyra under the protection of this subtle knife, and I'll fly you anywhere. Swear by the love of your wife.
I'll gladly swear by that. But the bearer of the subtle knife has his own task to do. And it may put Lyra in even greater danger.
Maybe. But if there's any chance of safety, I want her to have it.
You have my word.
Lee Scoresby and Stanislaw Grumman make the return journey to the mouth of the Yenisei River. As they approach, they see the port swarming with soldiers. The Imperial Guard of Muscovy. The fiercest and best-equipped army in the world, and under direct command of the Magisterium. Somewhat uneasy, Lee Scoresby and Stanislaw Grumman go ashore. Lee goes straight to the stores to reclaim his balloon and equipment.
I'm returning to your vessel, sir. Any idea what's going on?
The soldiers are going north into the new world to fight. This is the advance guard.
I see. I thought they looked a little excited. Now, what about my balloon?
Requisitioned. They're collecting it this afternoon.
I think you'll find they're not.
Oh?
See this ring?
Oh, yes. The Magisterium.
So we'll have the balloon right now. Set some men to load it with food, water, and ballast. I'll get the gas bag filled from the wharf tanks. Okay, Doctor. Climb aboard.
Mrs. Scoresby, can I ask where you got that ring?
Off a dead man's finger. Suppose you created this fine wind?
Yes, I did.
Okay, gas bag's full. Let me just disengage the pump. Hold on, here we go. Ah, oh, it feels so much better to be in the air. Just in time, here come the soldiers.
Shoot them! Shoot them!
Back in the world of Chittagazzi, Will and Lyra have stayed the night in a mansion even bigger than Sir Charles Latram's enormous house. They both wake early with a distinct sense of unease.
What time do you think it is?
About 6. Oh, Will, he's still bleeding.
Afraid so. It's going to take some good biological washing powder to get the blood out of the bedsheets. Hope they have that here.
I've made toast.
Let's eat here. It overlooks the city. We can keep watch. There's as much danger here as there is in my world.
And mine. Will, Tullio was attacked by the specters. I saw it from the tower.
What did it look like?
Well, he started counting the stones on the wall, and then he lost interest and stopped.
The specters may come from my world. Maybe we just call them something different.
And Angelica saw me, and she knows we've got the knife. She'll tell the other kids. She blames us for her brother's death.
We had to fight him. He'd been torturing the old man. He would have killed us all.
Yeah.
I think specters eat people's demons.
But children have demons too.
There must be a difference.
You killed my brother!
Oh no!
Murderers! We're gonna kill you!
They're carrying sticks!
That's sounded like a gun.
Car window. We can get away easy.
Yeah? And where will we be? In Oxford, a few yards from Sir Charles's house, in broad daylight. I can't just cut through anywhere.
Come on, let's head upstairs. We won't be able to make a run for it. There's too many. Lock the door!
It's like they're a single mass.
Well, they're coming up after us.
Look at the window! We're surrounded!
They're scared of cats. How about if I'm a leopard?
Try, Pam, but I don't think anything will scare them off.
We can't do any harm.
They're climbing up the ivy.
Push them back!
Ammunition. Come on then, fight me.
Bang, bang, you're dead.
Will,
just push him off.
And Lyra hears a familiar rustling sound above them. She leans out of the window to get a good look at the sky.
Serafina Pekala! We're here! Help us, please!
A flock of witches, led by Serafina Pekala and Kaiser, her slow goose demon, circle the domed roof.
Get back inside, Lyra!
The witches take arrows from their quivers and begin shooting them among the children, not to injure, but to scare. It works. Serafina comes to hover just outside the window.
Witches? Those are witches, aren't they?
Yeah, they're from my world.
Greetings, Lyra. We can't land. The place is full of spectres.
What should we do?
There's more trouble coming. We must make for the forest. Who is the boy?
He's my friend, Will. Will, this is Serafina Pekala. And the snow goose is the demon, Kaiser.
Will, why are the spectres avoiding you?
I didn't know they were. I can't see them. Perhaps it's the knife.
Serafina lifts Lyra through the window and onto her branch of cloud pine, and the witch Yuta does the same for Will. They fly off over the lawn, which is now spiked with arrows. Will feels exhausted. Blood continues to drip from his injured hand. Back in Will's Oxford, Dr. Malone and her colleague, Dr. Payne, are about to be given an offer. One of them won't be able to refuse.
A child from another world? Oh, Mary, it doesn't make sense.
Remember your skulls? She saw some in the Pitt Rivers Museum, and her compass thing told her they were much older than the label said. And there were shadows on them.
What are you saying?
Shadow particles have been around since the Big Bang. Then something happened 30 or 40,000 years ago. It involved evolution. I think we became conscious around then only because we started to attract shadow particles.
Why should it happen suddenly?
Oliver, I'm only speculating.
And what about this policeman? How does he come into all this?
He said his name was Walters, from the Special Branch.
Special Branch? Well, that's terrorism, subversion, intelligence. Why did he come here? The government fund us.
He came because of the girl.
Oh?
He was looking for a boy of about the same age who's supposed to have killed someone. They'd been seen together. But this Walters also knew about our research.
How? We haven't published any papers yet. Yes? Yeah, fine. We've got a visitor on the way up. Somebody or other. Look, Mary, they've offered me the job in Geneva, so I can't afford to get involved.
Dr. Payne, Dr. Malone, my name is Charles Latchell.
Please, come in. What can we do for you?
You're about to submit a funding application.
How do you know that?
Well, I used to be a civil servant concerned in directing scientific policy. I still have my contacts in the field. May I sit down?
Please.
Thank you. I asked to see some of your work. I was intrigued.
Does that mean we'll be successful?
No.
Then why have you come?
I think your work ought to continue. Would you let me make informal representations on your behalf?
Yes, of course.
What would we have to do?
There is a direction I'd like you to take.
Wait a minute. The course of this research is a matter for us.
In that case...
Mary, there's no harm in listening.
You're off to Geneva.
Perhaps. Sir Charles, please, sit down.
I'd like you to concentrate your studies on the manipulation of consciousness. You could take the many worlds hypothesis a good deal further, and you'd attract defense funding if you did. Here's my card. My mobile number's on it.
But...
Goodbye.
Mary, you can't turn down offers like that.
They want to find new ways of killing people by manipulating consciousness. I'm not getting mixed up in that, Oliver. And what does it matter to you, anyway? You've just got yourself a shiny new job.
Nothing signed? Then I'd be sorry to leave here.
What are you saying?
Basically, if you don't get in touch with him, I will.
I get it. You promise to do as this dodgy Sir Charles says, and I leave because I think it's unethical. Horribly immoral, in fact. So you become director with a bigger budget, lots of nice new machines, and a half a dozen more PhDs under you. Right, Oliver, you go ahead. I'm off. It stinks. And you stink too.
At 9 o'clock that evening, Dr. Mary Malone returns to the college building that houses the Dark Matter Research Laboratory. She has spent what she hopes was a productive afternoon creating a new software program to speak directly to the shadow particles. As she walks through the familiar revolving doors, she realizes that things have changed. Now there's a bulky-looking man in an unfamiliar uniform sitting behind the reception desk.
Where are you going?
I work here. Who are you?
Security.
Do you have a name?
Mr. Tubbs.
When I left this building this afternoon, Mr. Tubbs, there was only a porter on duty. Who appointed you?
An official. Here's my ID. Where's yours?
Will this do?
What is it?
It's the card I used to operate the barrier in the car park.
Okay. So, why are you here at this time of night?
I've got an experiment running. I have to periodically check the computer.
Yeah, well, nobody said, but yeah, up you go. You've got an honest face.
Thank you. Which is more than can be said for you.
Dr. Malone hurries up the stairs. A desk has been cleared. Her belongings sit in two cardboard boxes, and she notices that Dr. Payne seems to have taken her mug. Shrugging off her annoyance, she takes out the notepad she's filled with a new software program.
I hope this works. I'll have to make it work. Seems like this is the only chance I'll get. Right. Hello? Shadows? Oh, I'm not sure what I'm doing. Nothing? Nothing. Right. I'm trying to do with words what I've done before with a state of mind. I hope it works.
Ask a question.
Oh, I... Yes. Are you what we call shadow particles?
Yes.
Are you Lyra's dust?
Yes.
And is that dark matter?
Yes. Ask more questions.
The mind answering these questions isn't human, is it?
No. But humans have always known us.
Us?
Innumerable beings.
What are you?
Angels.
St. Augustine said, angel is the name of their office, not of their nature. The name of their nature is spirit. And shadow matter is what we call spirit.
From what we are, spirit. From what we do, matter. Matter and spirit are one.
And did you intervene in human evolution?
Yes.
Why?
Vengeance.
Vengeance for... Oh, I see. Rebel angels. After the war in heaven, Satan and the Garden of Eden. But it isn't true, is it?
Find the girl and the boy. Waste no more time. You must be the serpent.
I must be the serpent?
Go to a road called Sunderland Avenue. There, find a tent. Deceive the guardian and go through. The spectres will not touch you.
Spectres?
The last thing you must do in this world is to prevent the enemies from taking control. Destroy the equipment. Do it now, then go at once.
Right. Fine. Surprising what damage a good fortune can inflict.
Right. I take my papers. And I'm going to reclaim my I Ching poster. Whew. Oliver can find something more fitting, like a picture of, I don't know, some tanks. And I'll have my mug back. Thank you very much. This is it. Sunderland Avenue. Thank goodness I know how to pack a mean rucksack. Okay. That workman's tent must be it. No sign of a guardian. So, Mary, are you boldly going where...
Could I ask you where you're boldly going, miss?
Oh, hello, officer. I want to go into the tent.
I've got orders not to let anyone near it.
I'm glad they've got the place protected, but I'm from the Department of Physical Sciences. Sir Charles Latram asked me to make a preliminary survey. My name's Dr. Olive Payne.
Dr. Olive Payne, right.
Here's some ID. Let's hope the 15 minutes spent sticking and cutting on my kitchen table wasn't wasted. What a creative afternoon I've had.
That seems in order, Dr. Payne. I'd have had to ask you to step away if you were that Dr. Malone. She's a one by the sound of it. And Irish, apparently. Some kind of a pothole in there, I expect.
Probably.
Good luck, then.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Here goes. Oh, there's nothing here. It's empty. Whoa! A hole in the air. I never expected. I never could have guessed that. Oh, I can hear the sea. I feel as if I'm off on holiday. Okay, Mary Malone, through you go.
The witches have flown Will and Lyra to safety deep inside the forest. They've been walking for several hours. Will's energies are almost spent. He staggers. His face is ashen.
I must have a drink. I'm parched.
Looks like the witches are stopping here making food. I'm just going to flop down and close my eyes.
Pan?
Yes?
My hand's bleeding quite badly. I'm frightened.
Lyra thinks you're the bravest fighter she ever saw. As brave as Yorick Bjørnason.
Lyra's braver than me. She's the best friend I ever had.
Will, eat these leaves before you have any other food. They may stop the bleeding. Are you all right? They're rather bitter.
Yeah. They catch in your throat like vinegar.
Hello, Will and Lyra. I am Lena. I fetched you some roast fowl seasoned with lemon. I also found blueberries below the screen. There.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Did Seraphina tell you? We saw a balloon not long ago.
Mr. Scoresby?
We're not sure. There were two men in it and a storm gathering behind them.
Oh, Will. I hope it's him. I never said goodbye. He was so kind.
Hello, Will, Lyra. Hello, Yuta. Thank you for flying me here. Lee Scoresby has gone to find Stanislaw Grumman.
Why did he do that?
He thought Dr. Grumman knew where he could find an object that protected the owner from every threat. He wanted it for you.
Really?
Sisters, let's talk away from the children.
Yuta, you mustn't think of Dr. Grumman.
You brought me here so I wouldn't kill Grumman in our world. This isn't our world.
We still live by our world's code, Yuta. And you live by my rule.
Yes, sister.
Yuta, you've had other lovers since you were rejected by Stanislaw Grumman.
None have taken his place in my heart. None.
Cliffgast!
Sisters, it's Queen Ruta Skadi. She's being attacked. Arm yourselves. Sisters, fly up. Two must stay and guard the children.
The witches fly up, loosing their arrows. There's a drizzle of blood as the arrows find their mark. Then, without warning, one of the cliff gusts falls from the sky, landing near the children. It rises menacingly onto its taloned feet and swaggers towards them, exhaling great hot gouts of putrid breath, chuckling, clapping its wings in horrible anticipation, its yellow jagged teeth sliding clear of its heavy lips.
Lyra! Move! You're in the line of fire!
Watch out!
Here, let me!
Will takes his knife carefully from its sheath, walks up to the grimacing beast and wipes the blade through its thick, leathery neck. Above them, among the flights of arrows, the cliff ghast can be heard fleeing in disarray. The witches return to the ground, Rutaskadi among them.
You took its head off. As easy as flicking a flower off its stalk.
Who killed this creature?
I did.
You gave it the death it deserved. There are thousands like it breathing like flies. This child is Lyra, but who is the boy warrior?
This is Will, Lyra's friend.
Serafina Pekela, I've learned so much. All the old things are changing or dying. Oh, I'm so hungry. Thank you, Lina.
Did you see Lord Asriel, Rutaskadi?
Yes. It wasn't easy, but I made myself invisible and found my way to his inmost chamber when he was preparing to sleep. He's invited us to join his army against the authority. I wish with all my heart that I could pledge our support there and then. I have seen so many hideous cruelties and horrors dealt out in the authority's name, but I knew I must consult you first.
But how did the ghast find you?
I left Lord Azrael's fortress flying invisible when a great wind rose and hurled me high into the mountains. I took refuge on the clifftop. I've remained invisible, knowing the kind of creatures who inhabit those regions. But it seems I'd stumble on the nesting place of the oldest cliff ghast. I heard him say that the greatest battle is coming, days of plenty for every ghast. Then he said that Lord Azrael would be defeated without Esheter.
What is Esheter? The word means God Destroyer.
I had never heard of Esheter before, so I tried creeping closer because they started whispering. But I couldn't stay invisible, and the young ghast followed me back here to this world. Lord Azrael needs us on his side, and he needs to know about Esheter.
Our task is to help Lyra, and her task is to guide Will to his father. We must stay with the children.
If you have pledged this...
Yes.
Sisters, we must talk.
Lyra, I need to lie down. I feel weak. My hand hurts worse than when it first happened.
Let's lie by the fire. They won't notice. It seems they've got lots to talk about. And they're sort of intense, aren't they?
And this boy? Who is he? What world does he come from?
From one we haven't visited. I don't know why he is important. And sister... We tried to heal his wounds, but we failed.
He has the same extraordinary soul as Lord Azrael. Have you looked into his eyes?
Oh, I haven't dared. He's too powerful.
And the girl, Lyra, what of the part she's supposed to play? Surely it was more than leading the boy to his father.
That's what she must do now. And later, yes, she will put an end to destiny.
Sister... There are lights gliding towards the children.
Collected around the children as they sleep are beings of light, their wings interpenetrating, making a circle of radiance. It is a holy moment. They bend their heads and gaze down with such deep concentration and gentle intent. They raise their hands and make a benediction, and the children stir a little. The angels slowly rise and circle them, leaving traces in the air like distant stars.
Were they like the creatures you saw, Rutaskadi?
Bigger, I think, but the same kind. They have no flesh. All they are is light. Their senses must be so different from ours.
These children have been blessed by them.
Or the angels came to be blessed by the children. Serafina Pekela, I'm leaving to call the witches of the south together. When we meet again, it will be wartime. We must ally ourselves to Lord Azrael. Go well, my dear.
Go well, sister.
That same evening, Lee Scoresby and Stanislaw Grumman looked down at the new world they've entered.
It's a strange world down there, Dr. Grumman.
Yeah.
Looks as if the entire population consists of children and columns of mist. What the hell is it?
Spectres.
Spectres? What do they do exactly?
As vampires feast on blood, spectres feast on the conscious and informed interest in the world.
children are less attractive to them. If you want to put an end to cruelty and injustice, you must take me further on.
Seems to me you fight cruelty where you find it. And the place you give help is where you see it's needed. Still, I guess you have uncommon knowledge and can see what might be called the bigger picture. But then, I was told shamans had the gift of flight, and I believed it.
But I am flying.
And so you are. And so you are.
This journey is the greatest wisdom I know. My sole purpose now is to find the bearer of the subtle knife and tell him what he must do.
And that includes protecting Lyra.
It will protect all of us.
Gentlemen, excuse me for interrupting, but we have company.
Where?
Zeppelins at 10 to midnight.
Enemies?
Yeah. The Magisterium have realized I killed one of their own and used his ring. I'll jettison some ballast. Meanwhile, if you could summon a stiffer breeze, Dr. Grumman, I'd like to make those distant foothills by nightfall.
Okay, we have more unwelcome company. Seems like we're drawing a congregation.
Looks like a squadron. Well, there's no hiding out here. Dr. Grumman's in a trance, so we're likely to see results any time now.
Dr. Grumman concentrates his gaze into the distance. A blisteringly white jag of lightning strikes at the nearest Zeppelin, igniting its silvery skin, before the whole craft starts to plummet, sending a cloud of black smoke spiraling upwards into the path of the remaining Zeppelins.
A direct hit! Dr. Grumman, did you do this?
Yes.
I'm traveling with a lightning marksman. Your weapon's a dime sight more powerful than my Winchester. Right, Dr. Grumman, I'm going to concentrate on landing. Sit tight, hold on, and be prepared to jump clear if I tell you.
I trust you, Mr. Scoresby.
You okay, Hester? Let me button you into my coat.
Oh, thanks, Lee. I hate to be jostled.
Ready? Here we go! Well, the bag put up a good fight. My arms are aching. I never expected a welcoming campfire when I was through. This done by magic, too, Dr. Grumman?
No. They have Boy Scouts in your world.
Can't say I've heard of them if they do.
Their motto is, be prepared. I never travel without a box of matches. That's the second time that Zeppelin's passed overhead.
They've sent up a flare. Sorry, but we'd best put out the fire. We're in for a busy night, Dr. Grumman.
There's a busy day to come. We must leave the forest. The Magisterium's about to set fire to it.
How? You can't burn a wet forest.
They have an engine that throws out naphtha, blended with potash. It ignites on contact with water. The forest will catch quickly.
It's goodbye to my balloon. First time I've traveled anywhere without it since I was 14.
I guess you're no longer an aeronaut, Lee.
They'll be waiting to see where we leave the forest.
As the forest catches fire, animals and birds, suddenly alert to the danger, start to screech and call. The creatures shed their fear of each other. Prey and predator run side by side away from the fire, only to hear fresh flames start up ahead of them.
Look! There's a narrow defile ahead and a dry riverbed.
A Zeppelin descends fast and hovers just above the ground. From a cabin door, a stream of blue uniformed men jump down and begin to climb up the hillside towards them.
They're after me, Mr. Scoresby. Give me the rifle and surrender yourself. You'll be a prisoner of war.
Get moving. You have a mission to complete. I'll hold them off.
I'm sorry, Mr. Scoresby. I had no strength to bring the last Zeppelin down.
Just tell me, is this going to help Lyra or harm her?
Help her.
You won't forget your oath?
No.
I couldn't love that child more if she were my own. If you break your oath, whatever remains of me will pursue whatever remains of you.
You have my word.
Then go well.
It's us against the bad guys, Hester.
Yeah. Let's hope good triumphs. Aim straight.
I don't like taking lives, Hester.
Ours or theirs?
It's theirs or Lyra's.
Look to the left, boy. You're wounded.
Am I?
Scalp wound.
Did I get him?
Too busy ducking. Reload whilst you can, boy.
Lee Scoresby rolls back behind the boulder, reloads his Winchester, hauls himself back into position and takes aim. But there's a sudden burst of enemy gunfire and a bullet hits Lee in the shoulder.
Damn, these men are like me.
It makes no sense. Do it anyway.
Lee Scoresby is bleeding to death. He feels something so rare. Hester's face pressed to his own and wet with tears.
This is my fault.
Why is that?
I told you to take the quiet man's ring.
You think I ever did what you told me?
Another bullet finds him, hitting like a red-hot poker along his skull.
Not long now, Hester.
Hester is lying low now, and her beautiful gold-brown eyes are growing dull.
You're still beautiful.
Oh, the witch, Lee. She gave you a flower.
Fetch it from my breast pocket.
Here, Lee. Can you close your fist over it?
Yeah. Serafina Pecola, help me. Help me. Hester, don't you go before I do.
I couldn't abide to be anywhere away from you for a single second. There's one man left and he's making for the Zeppelin.
I can't shoot a man in the back.
Shame to die with one bullet left, though.
So he takes aim with his last bullet at the Zeppelin itself. And the bullet must be red hot, for the gas suddenly billows into an orange fireball. And the men, creeping away, the remnant of the guard, are all engulfed.
We held out.
We're helping Lara.
Then she presses her little proud, broken self against his face, as close as she can get. And then they die.
Lee Scoresby needs me. Remember, witches, you must guard the children. None of you must leave them.
Oh, Mr. Scoresby, but where? Is he near?
Well, Lyra, I can see someone behind us. I'll go closer and look. My snowbunting demon has excellent eyesight, and there are plenty of witches left to guard you.
Yeah, we'll be okay, Lena. But be careful. Those specters are horrible.
Don't worry, Lyra. I'll make myself invisible.
We'll keep moving. You all right, Will?
Yes, thanks.
Lena and her demon fly towards a lake of clear blue water. Pitched on the bank are two expensive-looking tents. An immaculately dressed man and woman sit on collapsible steel and canvas chairs. Both exude wealth and power. Lena lands on a rock, just within earshot. A snow-bunting demon hops at the edge of the furthest tent.
You haven't told me, Marissa, how you command the specters.
It's simple. They know I can lead them to all the victims they desire.
And to think, a whole world trembles in their power.
Yes, amusing, isn't it? Now, Charles, tell me why you're pursuing the boy.
He has something I want.
Whatever it is, I've no intention of depriving you of it. I only want the girl. I could even get whatever it is for you.
Now, Marissa, my darling.
Tell me, and you shall have it.
It's the subtle knife of Chitagatsi. It's also called Esheter. Nothing is invulnerable to it. And it's mine, Marissa. You understand? You take the girl, and I'll take the knife.
Here, darling, let's drink to ourselves.
To us, my darling. To us.
I rather think I'll be going alone from now on.
Oh, can you get me the knife so quickly?
No. I mean, you'll no longer have any use for it.
The wine! You monstrous female! You she-devil!
Your greediness always made you vulnerable. Oh,
damn you! Damn you!
Sir Charles slumps in his chair, struggles for a moment to let the last breath out of his body, as Mrs. Coulter stands up and turns to look directly at the witch.
I can see you, and so can the specters.
No, please.
Your demon has already succumbed.
Oh, let him go, please.
Is Lyra with you, and a boy with a knife?
Yes. Oh, let my demon go or kill me now.
Your witches know about my daughter. You have a name for her. Tell me.
She will be mother. She will be life. She will disobey.
Name her. Name her.
Eve, mother of all.
Eve.
What will you do to her?
I shall kill her to prevent another fall.
I came here to protect her. I have placed her in danger.
Yes, you have. Spectres, come to me. Forget you are earthbound.
Half an hour away, Lyra is getting ready to sleep.
Oh, my feet hurt. I've got great fat blisters. I'm going to get some sleep under that overhanging rock. Come on, Pan.
Good night, Will.
There's plenty of room for you under here, if you want, Will. It's out of the wind.
I'm not tired yet.
I thought you were.
Nah, I've woken up a bit. Good night, Lyra. You too, Pan. My hand hurts so much. I just feel pain all the time.
Will, where are you going?
Oh, Yuta. I didn't see you there. I can't sleep. I'm just going a little way up this slope. See if I can tire myself out. My legs feel sort of restless.
Be careful, then. If you're not down in 15 minutes, I'll come looking, okay? I'm supposed to be guarding you.
Okay.
In fact, I think I'll follow, just to make sure you're safe. There are 18 witches here guarding Lyra. Perhaps your restlessness isn't entirely without cause.
Will makes his way up to a small plateau where the wind pours over the rocks almost as tangibly as water. A full moon rides in a sky scattered with magnificent clouds. Stars appear and vanish. Then, without warning, the moon is swallowed up and Will is left standing in pitch darkness.
Oh!
Suddenly, someone grabs his arm.
Give me your hand.
Please, be careful. I'm hurt. There's...
Yes, I know. Two fingers missing. You're the knife bearer.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Dr. Stanislaw Grumman takes a horn pot of ointment from his leather pouch and applies a substantial amount to Will's wounded hand.
Curing your wound with blood moss and herbs. Keep still.
Who are you?
I'm the only man who knows what the knife is for. You have a task that's greater than you could imagine. And you're only a child. How could they let that happen? There is a war coming, boy. The greatest war there ever was. Something like it happened once before, only this time the right side must win.
I don't want the knife.
The philosophers never realized they'd invented the one weapon in all the universes that could defeat the authority. The rebel angels fell because they didn't have the knife. But now...
I hate it, and I hate what it does.
You haven't any choice. And what's more, if you don't use it against the authorities' forces will tear it from your hands and use it against the rest of us. Forever and ever.
I can't go on fighting.
Have you won your fights?
Yes.
And you fought for the knife?
Yes, but I didn't realize... I thought I was just defending myself.
Then you're a warrior. Argue with anything else, but don't argue with your own nature.
I'm not a warrior. I don't know what I am.
There are two great powers, and they've been fighting since time began. Every increase in human freedom has been fought over ferociously between those who want us to know more and be wiser and stronger, and those who want us to obey and submit. Each side wants the knife more than anything else. We've been guided here, you with the knife and me, to tell you about its power.
The knife wasn't what I was looking for.
But that's what you found.
What have I got to do?
Go to Lord Asriel. Tell him that Stanislaw Grumman sent you with the one weapon he needs above all others. Ignore everything else. Someone will appear to guide you. The night is full of angels. Your wound will heal. Before you go, Let me lift the lantern to your face and see you properly. What were you looking for?
My father, John Parry.
You're William Parry? Wait. The moon's come out again.
The shaman sees his son, shivering in a torn linen shirt. His eyes so like his mother's. Will Parry sees his father's blazing blue eyes in a haggard face. At that same moment, something flies down from the beautiful sky. John Parry falls back dead, an arrow in his sick heart. His osprey demon vanishes. Will sits stupefied.
You killed him? Why did you do that? Why did you kill him?
I loved him, and he scorned me. I'm a witch. I don't forgive.
Yuta is afraid of Will. He holds more force and danger than she's ever met in a human before. She falls backwards, and he grips her hair with his left hand, feeling no pain, feeling only an immense and shattering despair.
You don't know who he was. He was my father.
No. No. That can't be true. Impossible.
Things have to be possible. Things have to be true. He was my father, and neither of us knew it till the moment you killed him. Which I wait all my life and come all this way, and I find him at last, and then you kill him. What did he do to you? Tell me.
Please. You're too young. It won't make any sense to you. I loved him. That's all. That's enough. Now, I shall die.
I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Father, Dad, I don't understand why she killed you. But whatever you wanted me to do, I swear I'll do it. I'll fight. I'll be a warrior. I'll take this knife to Lord Asriel, and I'll help fight the enemy. You can sleep now. Mum said I'd wear your mantle. Not sure what she meant, but I'll wear your cloak with your blood on it. And I'll take your lantern and box of ointment.
The air is electric, with whispers and wing beats so close they may be inside Will's head. He looks back once, before turning to go down the mountain. As he reaches the place where Lyra is sleeping, he stops suddenly. He can see two men standing there in the dark, waiting. Will puts his hand to the knife.
You are the bearer?
Who are you? What are you?
We are watchers. Angels.
We need you. We have been following the shaman. Now we have come to guide you to Lord Asriel.
You were with my father all the time. Why didn't you stop the witch?
His task was over.
All right, I'll come with you. But first I must wake Lyra. Lyra? Where is she? Lyra!
A hollow under the rock is empty. Lyra has gone. But there is something under the overhang where she'd been lying. It is Lyra's little canvas rucksack. And from the weight of it, Will knows, without looking, that the alethiometer is still inside.
Lord Asriel needs you at once. The enemy's power is growing. The shaman has told you what your task is. Come with us. Come. Now.
And Will looks from the angels to Lyra's rucksack and back again.
Lyra!
In The Subtle Knife, by Philip Pullman, dramatized by Lavinia Murray. Lyra was played by Lulu Popplewell. Will by Daniel Anthony. Balthamos by Ray Fearon. And Mrs. Coulter by Emma Fielding. Sir Charles was played by John Carlyle. Dr. Malone by Breege Brennan. Paradisi by Richard Johnson. Walters by Stuart Fox. Mrs. Parry by Joanna Munro. and Mrs. Cooper by Marlene Sidaway. Lee Scoresby was played by Peter Marinka, Hester by Carla Simpson, Stanislaw Grumman by Jack Clough, Serafina Pekela by Tracy Ann Oberman, Kaiser by Simon Donaldson, and Ruta Skadi by Joanna Kanska. Pantelimon was played by Richard Firth, Ozymandias by David Holt, Thorold by Martin Hyder, Lena by Laura Doddington, Yuta by Emma Williams, and Tullio by Scott Brooksbank. The Cardinal was played by Ewan Bailey, Paolo by Greg Prentice, Angelica by Victoria O'Donnell, and The Boy by Oliver Cookson. Technical presentation was by Peter Ringrose, Colin Guthrie, Richard Beedsmore, and Mark Wilcox. The music was composed and realised by Billy Cowie. The Subtle Knife was directed by Janet Whittaker.